All right. Well, we are in week two of our series, Marvel. Our God is a God to be marveled at. And how many of you were able to watch or be a part of week one of the series last week? Isn't God's omnipotence a great thing to study? Come on, church, it is. Our God is so powerful. He really is. And as we jump into week two, welcome everybody that's watching online, everybody that's a part of this experience. It's so exciting to be in this journey together and this looking at this topic of marvel. And remember that we're looking at the three attributes of God. Last weekend, we talked about the omnipotence of God and that God is all powerful. And this weekend, we're looking at the topic of omniscience. And that our God knows everything. And just, it will just be, I just believe, an important message and a message that will benefit all of our lives. And the next weekend at all of our campuses, we'll be talking week three, concluding the series on omnipresence. And that is one of those powerful attributes you don't want to miss at all, because there's just so many exciting things to learn in this series. I don't know about you, but this is one of those series, it's just exciting to discover together. I mean that. It's so much fun to study and prepare and learn, and I'm learning new things, and I'm being reminded of some incredible attributes of God. And I just tell you, for me, it's really exciting. How many know it's a good thing when the pastor's excited about what he's teaching about, right? It is. So that helps put you not to sleep, right? So that's good. But it is. It's a great series. So we have a lot to cover this weekend's message. Just allow me to jump in and kind of jump into the material here and real quick, and we'll kind of jump into what God has for us in week two of Marvel. Last weekend, we asked the question. I shared with you, it's a theme question. It'll appear up on the screen in just a moment. And I share with you that my desire is that we would answer this question in the series. And that it may be a simple question, but that we look at it in a deeper way. And the question is simply this: do I really know how amazing God is? Do I really know how amazing God is? Beyond just emotion, beyond just feeling, you know, we can have a great time of praise and worship or music or prayer moments or God meets the needs and we feel how amazing God is. And I love those moments as well. But in addition to those moments, do we really have a good, solid understanding, according to Scripture, of how amazing our God really is? And it's one of those things that we want to answer, and we want to have a really solid footing, a great foundation to answer that question: do I really know how amazing God is? Last weekend, we talked about omnipotence. And we talked about that our God is all-powerful. And remember, we shared that it comes from the Latin compound word omnipotens, which means God is all-powerful. And it's just one of those great, great teachings to discover and learn and to think about and to pray about. And this week, we're looking at omniscience. And simple meaning of omniscience, you already know it, but I'll just share it with you, that our God is all-knowing, or our God has all knowledge all the time. And it's one of those powerful principles. And as we jump into this weekend's message of omniscience, I have to say, last weekend's message, great feedback. A lot of people shared thoughts after service and God speaking to your hearts, and love those encouraging thoughts and that great feedback, because there's so much in the topic of omnipotence. And there's some I know that are feeling in this series that would love it if they're just kind of feeling, whoa, 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 Pastor, before we move off of omnipotence onto a new topic, I have some big questions about omnipotence. I have some big questions maybe that you didn't answer, and I know I didn't answer all the questions that come up from omnipotence, because there's always things that come up, like when we're discovering that God is all-powerful, thoughts like, well, if he's really all-powerful, then why does this happen? And if God is really all-powerful, then why does this happen? And let me share with you a great truth. You're going to want to write it down in just a moment, but I want to let you know these two attributes are connected. They're closely connected, omnipotence and omniscience. Track with me here. These two attributes, that God is all-powerful and that God is all-knowing, last weekend and this weekend's teaching, they're just very interconnected. So if you missed last weekend, please go online, watch it as soon as possible, just so it's fresh in your hearts and your minds and your spirits. But here's kind of the principle that we discover as we're going to learn about omniscience together this weekend, and it's simply this: the questions, all the questions that come up from omnipotence are answered by omniscience. All the questions, it takes a moment to let that sink in, it'll be on the screen there. All the questions that come up from omnipotence are answered by omniscience. And as you let that thought sink in, it may challenge some of us, or we may have questions, and I'm sure we do about that. But that statement, all the questions that come up from omnipotence are answered by omniscience, is a true statement we'll discover together. Now, I didn't say in the statement we're going to like the answer all the time, did I? Right? But really it is answered in this idea, this attribute of God, that our God is all-knowing. So Psalms 139, part of this passage was read and shared during the worship time, and it was just so powerful to hear that. And beginning with verse 1, let's look at it. It'll be up on the screen so you can follow along with us. Oh Lord, you've examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Wow. Lord, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I tell you, Psalms 139 in those first four verses, God makes some very bold and some would even say extravagant claims, doesn't he? I mean, he does. If you look at it, and some would say, I don't know that I agree with all that. And as we talked about last weekend, there's people in services and watching online at all the campuses that are coming at this from different perspectives and all in serving God. And some are exploring and checking out their faith. Some have a lot of questions. They're not sure about this or don't believe in it yet. And I invited you last weekend to go on this journey with us together throughout this series and just have open hearts to everything that God has for us. And we look at this statement of God in Psalms 139, and I want you to think about it with me just for a moment, because God makes bold, extravagant claims. I mean, did you hear what it said? God said that I know you and I see you all the time. I know you at every moment of your life. I see you everywhere you are, he said. He said, I know your thoughts from afar off. He says, when you lay down, you're resting, I know what you're doing. When you get up and go to work, I know what you're doing. He even makes a statement, he says, I know your thoughts from afar. And he says, before you utter a word to speak, I know what you're going to say. And I tell you, that basically says in omniscience, and again, it's challenging thoughts, that God can read our minds. The enemy can't, but God knows what's going on in our minds and knows what's happening in our thoughts. And it just kind of challenges us and inspires us. And I look at him and say, those are bold, extravagant claims. Some of them, I don't understand how he does all of it. Well, a couple weeks ago, I shared last weekend we went on a trip to Thailand, a global team, and we stopped in Korea. And I shared a little bit about that experience at the Korean church last weekend. But when we were in Thailand, I had just a wow God moment 2 weeks ago that just God reminded me of his omniscience, and I was just in awe of his, that he's all-knowing. And let me describe the story. I'm going to share it pretty quick with you, but track with me. 16 months ago, we went to Thailand. I led another team to Thailand, and that was January 2011, okay? And then we just led a second team in June of 2012, a couple weeks ago. January 2011, we went over there and we were getting ready to preach in a service, and I was getting ready to share God's word. And part of what our team did from River Valley is in that service, afterwards, we had a moment where we prayed for all the Thai people in the church and just prayed for them and agreed with them about any needs going on in their life. And there was this huge language barrier. Nobody understood Thai. None of them understand English. And so our team from River Valley, great team, amazing team, servants, were just praying God's blessing, God's favor, God's healing, that God would show himself strong in their lives and all the different things, just praying for them, kind of putting their hands on their shoulders, just praying for them. And earlier in the service, one of our team members, part of our Savage campus, one of the gentlemen, shared a testimony, because several of our team shared a quick testimony with the church, shared a testimony to the Thai church, and they heard the testimony. His testimony was simply this. He and his wife were having challenges and becoming pregnant. And it was quite a journey, and they're praying and all this different stuff. And it was just kind of quite a challenge, a desire of their heart. And they became pregnant, he and his wife, and he was sharing this testimony. And then 3 months into the pregnancy, they went in for an ultrasound, and the ultrasound technician told them that they were having a miscarriage and that the baby wasn't going to make it. And there was something in this couple that just said, you know, and they're not weird or strange or anything like that, just a normal, God-fearing Christian couple. But they just felt, that doesn't agree. We don't feel right. And we just feel like this is God's promise. And so there's just something stirring where they just didn't feel it was right to accept that report. And so they went back a few weeks later and still no difference. And they went back about 6 or 7 weeks later had another ultrasound. The ultrasound technician said, "We see and we hear a heartbeat." And it was just miraculous to them, and they were just so overjoyed several months later that a healthy, amazing, beautiful baby boy. And then so they shared this testimony. He shared this testimony in the church in Thailand. And then fast forward to 2 weeks ago, we're sitting in service. I'm getting ready to preach. And the pastor introduces this lady, about 40 years old, Thai lady, beautiful, special lady, just God-fearing lady, and then he says she has a testimony to share. She starts to share her testimony, and the missionary's interpreting for us. And she says, "I want you to know that 16 months ago when this team was here before, after service, a lot of the team was praying for different Thai people, and they didn't even know that me and my husband have been trying to have a baby for about 10 years, and we couldn't become pregnant. And I want you to know that several people were praying for me." She's saying this in Thai, and they're interpreting it. And she said, "Several of the team were praying for me, not even knowing what my need was. 30 days after the team left, my husband and I, we became pregnant. And then 8 months later, we had a beautiful, healthy baby." And she throws the picture of this baby up there. And I just want you to know, our team went nuts, and everybody was so excited. It was so cool. And I just want you to know that only God can connect those dots. Only God can connect those dots. And we don't understand how he does it all the time, but only God has the knowledge base to connect those dots. And Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." This speaks to the omniscience of God. It speaks to our thoughts are here, God's thoughts are here. Our ways are here, God's ways are here. If you were here last weekend, we heard this kind of similar thought process as we learned in Scripture about God's power. God's like, I'm here in power and you're here. Now God's like, "I love you. I sent my son to die for you. I love you with all my heart. I see great things in your life." But he's saying there's an order to this, and the order is God is here and you and I are here. And he says even in ways and knowledge and thinking, God is here and we are here. And he says that's just the way it is in my omniscience. So let me give you one more principle, and it's this: declaring a truth. This is so good. You want to get a hold of this. Declaring a truth will not answer all the questions that challenge that truth. Declaring a truth, like we're doing in this series, we're declaring three truths about the attributes of God. Declaring a truth will not necessarily answer all the questions that challenge that truth. Okay? Let me unpack that a little bit for you. When we stand up and we declare that God is omniscient, that is a principle, that is a truth. When we declare another truth, that our God has an unconditional love for everyone, we're declaring a truth. Now, when we declare those truths, it doesn't mean that truth can't be questioned from other angles. Does that make sense? And the reason I want us to understand this is something God was just showing me this week, because sometimes we declare a truth like omnipotence or omniscience or unconditional love, all these incredible things that we know from Scripture to be true about God. And we hear these things. And sometimes we kind of believe this lie that says, well, since I have moments of doubt about this, I don't know if it's true or not. And you know what? We'll always have moments and seasons of doubt in our life. There'll always be moments where we say, I don't know how that's going to work out, and I'm not sure how that really happens, and if God's really omniscient, why does it work out this way? And all those different things, and it's one of those things that we understand. So declaring a truth is one of those things. It doesn't mean there won't be challenging questions that come against that truth, but here's what it does. It gives us a foundation to trust in when the questions arise. It gives us a foundation to trust in when the questions arise. And how many know at times the questions arise for all of us? But it does. So it gives us that foundation to say, I don't know how all of that's going to work out. I don't know why all of that's happening. I know there's some challenging questions that jump in here and there, but I just want you to know that God is in charge, that God is omniscient, that God knows everything, and it's there for each and every one of us to grab onto. It's just so good. So in this series, and this weekend's message specifically, I'm going to give you I want to ask you if you'd give the Lord 20 minutes as part of this series. I'm going to ask you for 20 minutes sometime this week, if you'd be willing to give God 20 minutes in this series, just to dive in a little farther. If you're willing to do that, can I see your hands? Come on. I don't know why the rest of you don't have your hands up, all right? We'll meet afterwards. But yeah, just 20 minutes. Maybe it's going to take a little longer than that, but just to, because we don't have time to unpack it, but I want to give you a little bit of homework to do. And here's what it is. You can write these chapters down. They're chapters in the book of Job. It'll take you 20 or so minutes to read them, and they're going to speak to your heart about every week of this series. So here we go. Job chapter 1, 2, 38, 39, and 40. Job 1, 2, 38, 39, and 40. All right, so write those down. 1, 2, 38, 39, 40. It'll take you about 20 minutes. I know I'm asking a lot for some of us, but I really encourage you to jump in and read that throughout the coming days of this week, to just give God 20 minutes. Here's what's happening, and I'm just going to just kind of tell you the quick story. Job, you remember we did a series actually at River Valley several months ago called Why God, Why? Some of us remember that series. Pastor Rob taught most of it. It was a great message, great series. It'll bless your life. And we looked at the first couple chapters of the book of Job. And Job, if you don't know about him, or if you do know about him, you know this, that Job just, he had a lot of tragedy that hit him. I mean, tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy. And there was this dialogue of testing and challenge that was going on. And we still don't understand all of it all the time. But chapters 1 and 2, if you look at it, Job had tragedy. He lost almost all of his possessions, lost most of his family members. They were killed, lost his health, and he was afflicted with all these different diseases and different things. And he just, those first two chapters, Job had a really, really tough time. Well, lo about chapter 37, 38, a number of months later, might have been years later, Job comes through all this doing great. God's restored him, all this kind of stuff. And Job has this dialogue with God, and this is what Job says. He says, "Hey, God, I have some questions for you about what happened to me back in chapter 1 and 2. I have some questions about all the tragedy that came my way." And he really said, "God, I want an explanation. Can you explain to me why this stuff happened in my life?" Okay? That was his request of God. Now, for the next three chapters, what I gave you, especially 38 and 39, God goes into this dialogue personally with Job. And the dialogue, if you've never read it, basically, here's God's response to Job. "Okay, Job, you want answers? Here you go. Hey, Job, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Did you help me? Hey, Job, where were you when I created the planets and the stars and placed them? Were you around? Were you part of that, Job?" He says, "Job, where were you when I created the oceans and the land masses and made the divides where they're supposed to be? Job, were you a part of that process? Job, where were you when I created man and woman? Were you in that? Were you part of that? Or was that just all of me?" And he goes on to kind of say, "Job, here's all the things I've done. Here's all the ways I operate." And it was challenging things he shared with Job. And there's this cool moment in chapter 40 where after God says all this thing to Job, here's Job's response in chapter 40. He literally says, "I'm going to close my mouth and say nothing else." How many know sometimes that's a good kind of course of action to take? It is. But it is that one of those things where there's those moments. And if you can remember when you were an elementary age child, or you were a teenager, junior high, high school, or something like that, you'll remember at times you would ask and nag your parents for things, right? We all did that, didn't we? And we'd ask and we'd repeatedly ask sometimes, and we're kind of nagging, especially in that late elementary and junior high age, maybe all the way up to high school, and we weren't getting our way, and eventually our parents would get frustrated and they would share the answer we most hated to hear as a child. Do you remember what that answer was? It sometimes was even worse than hearing no. Our parents would give us the answer, "Because I said so, that's why." Right? Remember that? Yeah. Let's just say that together. It'll feel good. "Because I said so, that's why." I mean, it's true. Now, come on, be honest. We're in church, right? God's watching, so we're in church. As parents, how many of you have said that at least once in your parenting journey? Come on. Look at the support group in here. Go, go, go. Yeah, I mean, we've all done that. And do we, as parents, the times we've done that, hopefully it's not super often, but do we share that with our kids because we don't love them? Do we share with it because we don't want the best for them? No, not at all. Maybe once in a while out of frustration. I grew up youngest of six. I can't imagine the number of questions my parents had to hear and the nagging they had to hear. But it's not that. It's usually we don't have the time to explain every detail. Or if we did, we're at such a different place in life, they won't understand all the perspective that we're bringing into that decision. And the parents just saying, hey, trust me, kid, on this one. There are these moments in omniscience we've got to grab a hold and be okay with this in God. Or he just says, hey, kid, trust me on this one. Trust me. I know what I'm saying. I know the background. I know what's going on. Trust that I love you with all of my heart. And you just got to trust me on this one. And I just think that's so, so helpful for each of us to hear. So I'm going to give you just for the last 6-7 minutes here, I'm going to give you 4 takeaways that really speak to how does this apply to my life today. Omniscience. I shared several with you last week about omnipotence. And I just want to give you a few more this weekend about, since God is all-knowing, what's the difference it makes in my life? And so I want you to grab onto these. My heart's desire in teaching this is that it would be a blessing and a benefit to your life. And that it would just make such a difference in our walk with Christ as we journey with him. So these are personal, and I think they'll apply to each and every one of us. Here's the first takeaway about omniscience, that God is all-knowing. I am okay not knowing all the details. I'm okay not knowing all the details. Now, in full disclosure, it should probably say for me, I'm learning to be okay, right? How many of you love to know the details? I do. I mean, I love it. But it's one of those things that I'm learning to be okay not knowing all the details. All the hows, all the timing, exact timing issues, all the whys that come up. And there's lots of whys that come up in our journey of living for God and just living this life. And it's just one of those things that I'm learning to be okay with not knowing all the details because God is omniscient. A couple other ones. Omniscience makes us humble. This is so true. Omniscience makes us humble. The last few weeks in studying this, both these attributes, I've just been like, wow, God, you're so great. You're so great. You're so big. You're so amazing. You are a God to be marveled at. And I know comparatively, I know, God, you love me with all of your heart, and I know that you're pulling for me, and I know that I can trust you in every situation, but comparatively, this is where I'm at, and this is where you're at. And it just humbles us when we really grab a hold of omniscience. And I would say it in a healthy way. Are you okay at times answering people's questions with this answer? I'm not sure. When I was a younger leader, I didn't think I should say that very often because I thought I'm supposed to know everything, right? The last 10 years, I've used it quite a bit. I'm not sure to some really key questions from people. There's some questions I can answer, but there's others I say, I'm not totally sure about that, but let me let you know that I know a God who is sure. I know a God who does know. I know a God who has answers. I know a place we can look to that'll give us that resource. So even though I don't have all the answers, I know my God is omniscient. And I can run to him and I can look to him and I can research and pray and just see what God has for each and every one of us. So I encourage you, that takeaway, omniscience makes us humble. Here's another takeaway, and it's a serious one. Omniscience exposes our sin. Omniscience exposes our sin. This is one of those takeaways that's too serious. I can't and shouldn't add a funny comment to. But it's just part of omniscience, that God sees, knows everything going on in our lives. And when there's sin there, it's exposed. And God sees it. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, I tell you this, Jesus is speaking, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Every idle word. Wow. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And listen to this last line, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So for all of us that are part of this weekend service, let's just pause, think about it just for a second. If appropriate, run to God. Run to God and ask him for forgiveness. Because what I've been reminded of, and I've kind of learned anew in studying omniscience, is there's no such thing as secret sin. There could be brothers and sisters and wives and husbands and friends and parents that don't know. God knows everything. It's not a secret to God. And so it's one of those takeaways that we just need to embrace and say, God, I want to be right in this area. One more takeaway, omniscience increases our trust in God. Oh, I like this one. Omniscience increases our trust in God. He is so incredible. He's so wise, so knowledgeable, and I trust him with all of my life. And as you process this week, as you read those chapters, the homework I gave you, I think your trust in God will continue to rise. And I don't know about you, but we all need that. Proverbs 20 and verse 24, it says this. I love this scripture. The Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? Isn't that a good verse? The Lord directs our steps. That's a promise. That's the trust side. And then there's just a little practical advice I love that the writer of Proverbs gives us right here. So why are you trying to understand everything? You're not going to understand everything, but trust that the Lord directs our steps. As we get ready to close, I want to ask you a question and then share a quick story with you. The question is this. Have you ever been in a situation or faced a time where of just anxiety or worry or concern in your life? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me quite a few times. If it happens too often, it's not good, but it's happened to all of us, right? Where we've had those moments of just worry and anxiety. I know about 15 years ago, I co-led a missions trip to a communist nation. Things have changed a little bit in that nation, a little bit better, but it's still a challenging place to be a Christian. 15 years ago was a much different story, and if you were a Christian in that nation, you were not allowed to proselytize, talk about God publicly. You were not allowed to share your faith. If you were a pastor or a preacher, you would get arrested if you talked about God publicly. If you proclaimed good news, you could get put in jail. All these different things could take place. No, there was no printing of Bibles. Christian literature was illegal. And so that's what they had, what's called the underground church in these communist nations, number of them, but this one I was going to. And there's still nations that have an underground church because it's illegal to practice Christianity. Well, our mission was to bring Christian literature and Bibles in to encourage the underground church and to provide resources, because one Bible, literally sometimes 100 Christian believers would utilize it. And I'd go home and I'd go in my office and see that I have like 11 Bibles on my shelf. And there one Bible would impact 100 different people. So again, it's about 15 years ago. We went on this trip, got ready, learned, because the moment of distinction was when you go through security customs at the other end in this communist nation. And we were told how to pack and told to bring as many Bibles as we could. So I grabbed my suitcase. I put almost 50 Bibles inside my suitcase and put like 2 t-shirts and a pair of shorts around it, right? To try to confiscate it. I didn't know a whole lot about x-ray scanning back then, but that's what I was doing. And so, yeah, so we got off the plane in this communist nation, true story, and we had the strategy where we were going to kind of split up and go through security and customs in that nation individually, not as groups, so they didn't solo us out, and they would choose different suitcases to put on the scanner, and sometimes they just wave you through. Well, I'm walking up with my big suitcase that's all of 50 pounds, walk up, and they point to me and say, put it on the conveyor to go through the scanner. I started to sweat. I'm just going to tell you right now. Just sweat. I mean, nervous. I was a man of faith up to that moment. Okay, then a little fear crept in, and so I put it on the conveyor. There's this conveyor going up to the scanner. I went through the security line, and so then I turned around, I looked at my suitcase, and there's the security guard looking at that TV screen, that radar. His eyes are just focused on it, and I see these suitcases coming through, and you can see everything, and I watched as mine came up the conveyor, and the security guard's fixed on it. Mine, I'm not kidding, got about 3 feet from going underneath into the scanner, and one of the other security guards in this communist nation came over and tapped my guard on his shoulder, need to ask him a question. My guard turned to talk to him for about 30 seconds. My eyes stayed peeled on the screen. And I'm watching this thing, and he's talking over here to this other guy. My suitcase comes into the scanner. I can see almost every Bible in my thing. I mean, I was the worst packer known to, you know. But it's coming through there, and it was one of those moments, and it came through the other side. Literally 6, 7, 10 seconds later, the security guard turned back and looked at the screen again. I grabbed my suitcase, and I went through into the nation, and we're able to bless the underground church with all this Christian literature and these Bibles. So it's cool. God's omniscience shows itself in places, and we need to let it grab our hearts and never forget it. Because there's moments we need to remember those times, that God is in charge, and he's orchestrated, he knows everything that's going on. So I'll share one more scripture with you. Psalms 139:17. This is one of those special verses that that I ask you to let it sink in. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. For 2 weeks, we've looked at this characteristics, these attributes of God, that he's big, huge, powerful, knows everything, all knowledgeable, a God to be marveled at, and he's way up here. The scope of his knowledge is so incredible. And then we see this really cool verse in Psalms that says, even though he knows everything about us, knows our strengths, our weaknesses, our failures, all the stuff that happens in our life, we see this verse that says, how precious are my thoughts towards you. They cannot be numbered. Isn't that cool? It's just a great verse. So I leave you with this. I leave you with this. This God that's all powerful, this God that's all knowing, that's omniscient, this God that's big and huge and amazing and hard to grab the scope of everything he does, this God that has that capacity and that scope, he desires a relationship with you and I. He desires a personal relationship with you and I. He's so big. He's so amazing. And yet the coolest, one of the greatest things about him is that he's at our level to the point where he loves each and every one of us and desires a relationship with each and every one of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer.